This is InvestTalk, independent thinking, shared success. Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. It is Tuesday, April 25th, 2023. April's almost the first month of the second quarter, and we're pretty much deep into earnings season. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. And it should be obvious that the market dynamics are way different in the last couple of years than they were before. For about 10, 15 years in a row, we had a pretty strong market. You know, we had COVID to deal with, but even before COVID and subsequent to COVID, you know, the market was pretty decent. It's only when the Fed started raising rates that the market started not feeling good about things. And they're still not done. So don't think we're finished yet. We, you know, we had a bad market today, kind of showing us that market's not that healthy. I don't think it's going to be healthy until the end of the year, my personal belief is, and I've mentioned that several times. I'm Steve Peace, and I'm here today to, on the radio and podcast to help you with your strategies, to help you pick stocks, even though picking stocks is not nearly as important as managing a portfolio of stocks. That's more important because you can be wrong on any individual stock. You can always buy good, solid companies with not overvalued and, you know, have growth of earnings and growth. And so you can always pick those companies, but that doesn't mean the stock will rise. Does not mean that, because that could be subject to a deeper background, like the whole sector is not doing well or the economy is not doing well. But, you know, so picking individual stocks is not nearly as important as developing a good, solid portfolio over time. And that's what I'm hoping to help you with. And I'm always careful to give you unbiased, straight answers from whatever you ask. As long as it's financial, I'd be happy to answer the question. And I certainly don't have any hidden agenda that I'm trying to apply. I'm not getting paid by anybody to do this show. I'm really not, to do the podcast. I don't have Vanguard or some other big money house pushing me to sell certain assets. No, I mean to buy certain assets through their offices. I don't have any of that. So it's always unbiased here. We don't answer to anybody. And of course, the investing situation today is pretty tough, pretty difficult. We've had a pretty difficult year and a quarter. And I think we're still going to have a more difficult quarter this year and this quarter and next quarter. I really think they're going to be difficult. Doesn't mean you avoid the market. That's not the necessary thing to do, because you can't time the market. That's virtually impossible. Too many people have done it, tried to do it over too long a period of time to not come to the conclusion that it's impossible to time the market. People have been trying to do it. They've been trying to make, you know, these kinds of moves for decades and are unsuccessful. I'm talking about really smart people. Okay, you know, the people with, you know, huge computers backing them up and staffs of statisticians, and that still can't do it. So you got to just do it yourself. I think that's the best way to do it. Be very diligent in what you do. If you have the time, you can do just as well as most experts. So don't worry about that. Okay, so in other words, I'm here to help you shape your thinking, to help develop your skills, to help you understand how things work, and, you know, use that knowledge to try to make you a better investor. That's what we're trying to do here. The number, the phone number to call to ask any financial questions you would like, it's 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, and today our main talking point or focus point is, where should you invest and where should investors stash their safe money today? And we've talked about that over the last few weeks. Where do I invest money I don't want to expose to the market, or I want to expose the market later on? Well, this article refers to three types of cash, and we'll go over that fairly quickly to see what this guy is talking about. Okay, so that's what we're going to discuss today. I also have other things I want to talk about. After hours, Microsoft and Google beat their earnings estimates. Pretty decent, pretty good. Tech stocks are doing okay as far as beating their numbers. Well, we're not having a tech rally, are we? And also, U.S. consumer confident hits a nine-year low. Nine-year low. Why is that important? I'm not big on the consumer confidence numbers because sometimes they're really off because they take the survey just as something political happens or international happens that's on in the news that make people depressed. And you really don't get a sense, well, how much are they really going to spend? Remember, our economy is consumer-driven. But consumer confidence is something you need to pay attention to, but I wouldn't necessarily invest based on what that means. But I want to talk about it a little bit today. And Morgan Stanley is expecting that commercial real estate fall. Now, I've been talking about this for the last couple, three, 4 weeks, too. UBS, Morgan Stanley, you name it, J.P. Morgan, all of them are pretty concerned about commercial real estate. So we'll talk about that briefly again today. And time permitting, we had some internet questions that came in. So we'll be getting to that before the end of the show. And, of course, we have our trivia questions. The voice bank question we have here, VNEC Vietnam ETF and Zim Integrated Shipping Services Limited. We'll try to get to those two. And, of course, that trivia question at the halfway mark. We'll do that. So all this is pretty planned, everybody. So what happened today in the market? Down day, pretty big down day. The Dow is down 345, the Nasdaq down 238, and the S&P down 65. The market does not look all that healthy. Okay, it hasn't really, I can't say that the market has done really, really poorly this year. It has not. It just hasn't done very well. And I think it's down for the year. It is down for the year, but not a lot. But what do we do now? What are we supposed to do? We're going to talk about all that. Any of your questions you want to ask about it, we'll talk about it. So we're going to take a quick break. Please remember that you can call anytime and leave your question on the Invest Talk Voice Bank. Or if you're listening via live streaming right now, 888-99-CHARTER is the number you can call right this minute. 888-992-4278.
When listener questions are played on the Invest Talk podcast,
how do you guys determine a value stock?
The caller voices are amplified many thousands of times.
Just wanted to get your opinion on JP Morgan and BAC.
How do you see this looking forward?
I'm 25 years old and have a question about retirement funds.
And the unbiased answers from Justin Klein.
That's why it's trading so cheap, because there's a lot of regulatory risk.
And Steve Peasley.
I kind of like it here. If I was going to buy Tyson Food, this is where I'd buy it.
Benefit the entire Invest Talk community.
Thank you for what you guys do.
That's why 24/7, rain or shine, no matter how simple or how complex, your questions make a difference.
Symbol BKE, what's your outlook?
And Invest Talk is made better by the power of you. So don't forget to call 888-99-CHART. Justin Klein and Steve Peasley are ready to take on your finance and investment questions. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
I wanted to talk to you about the waste industry. Waste and recycling, and what you think about some of the top industry leaders and their market caps in regards to being a long-term hold. They seem to be a very sure bet in regards to being recession-proof in some sort of nature. So I want to hear your thoughts and hear about the consolidation in the industry and how that affects the stock price and its appreciation. Thanks.
Okay, the waste industry. What I do like that it's non-cyclical. We always will have waste. And over the years, that the big guys, and one of the biggest guys, and I'm not recommending this company, Waste Management is probably one of the biggest, provides waste collection, disposal, recycling services in the United States and Canada. They're a $68 billion company. And if you look at it, they've done pretty well, held up pretty well, even during this last year and a half, year and a quarter, when the market hasn't done very well. So in that sense, it's pretty good. And their earnings keep going up. I just like this industry because it will always be growing slowly, in my opinion. And therefore, this company, if you take a look at it, it will grow slowly. But you're going to have to pay up for these companies because they're non-cyclical. They're very steady. If you're talking about the biggest guys now, and you're going to have to buy on a dip. If it gives you a dip, you buy it. And this company's dipped to about 140 a couple of times in the last year. 140 today, it's 165. So you got to kind of want to wait for a dip. And then you buy them. It doesn't pay a huge dividend. That's one of the things I don't like about them. It pays a 1.7% dividend, and it has a lot of debt. I don't like that. I don't like that either. So there's things I don't like about them. But as far as how solid the whole industry is, it's pretty solid, pretty stable. And the only thing on my complaint is I think they should be paying more of a dividend. That's my biggest complaint. My focus point looks into the story behind the question, where should investors stash their safe money today? Investment cash is one category. There are others you should contemplate. So we're talking about an article that we have printed up here. It's on our website for today's focus point, where should investors stash their safe money today? And the person that is being interviewed here suggests there's three types of cash he looks at. Frictional cash, he calls it, investment cash, and reserve cash. Frictional cash, he says, typically sits in an investment account because just needs some small level of cash for whatever needs we might have. Okay, it's not, you may need it to live on, maybe you're retired, and that's the cash you would withdraw to live on, pay your bills with. That's frictional cash. The second category, investment cash, is money you have set aside to invest at the proper time and opportunity when you see an opportunity in the marketplace, and that's what that cash is all about. Right now, I think you should have a pretty good chunk sitting on the sidelines and invest and be invested. I have invested slowly my investment cash in this downturn we've been experiencing. There are some good bargains out there that I just can't pass up. The third type of reserve cash is money that you build up for savings, for money for short-term, intermediate-term goals or emergency money. That's a third type reserve cash. For instance, you have your reserve cash in case you ever get fired, and then you have to use that money to live on, and or car breaks down, you got to pay for it, and or you're planning for a vacation next year, and you're saving up for it. Three types of cash: one that you need. Frictional is money that you need that you live on, maybe cash that is investment cash that you're going to invest in the markets at some point, and then reserve cash that you have set aside for specific needs. Vacation or wants, vacation, unknown costs that you didn't expect. Those are the kinds of cash that you have. Now, where do you invest this money? Well, the first kind of money, you get money market rates. You really don't do anything with it. Second kind of money, you can invest in short-term treasuries and make, some money on your money, 3-4%. A third money is maybe longer term because it's really, a year or more, or you're never going to touch it, but you want to make some money on that money. But it is invested in cash, very, very conservative cash investments, like a one-year CD or one, two, three-year laddered treasuries, that kind of thing. So those are the three types of cash that this guy likes to talk about. Okay. Let's go to Sam in San Francisco. I'm being pushed to take a break. You know how these engineers are. So hang on. We'll be right back. This is Invest Talk. 888-99-CHART.
Each day, Invest Talk listeners submit their finance and investment questions via phone or email. Would you like your question to be put near the top of the list? Just take a minute or two to leave a review and rating for Invest Talk at iTunes. And be sure to include a brief question with your iTunes review comments.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Sam from San Francisco called, and he wants to talk about Google. So what about Google? What do you want to talk about, Sam?
Thanks, Steve, for taking my call. My question is, they just announced their earnings this afternoon, and they're trading at about $106 in that range. Do you think this is a good entry point?
Actually, I do. Their high mark is like 150 or so in that area. They've coming off a bottom, which was like high 80s, low 90s, and they're at 104, and they're up a little bit after hours because their earnings were good, to 106. I think that's a pretty good entry point. Do I think it's going to go right back up to 140, 150 points right away? No. But I think it's a good value. Earnings were better than expected. They reported after hours. And at you're never going to get a low PE. Their lowest range of their PE is 17. Okay, you're not going to get a PE of 10 or something on Google now, because they're still growing. Even though they're growing slower, they're still growing. Their earnings are better than expected. They don't pay a dividend, so you're hoping for a capital appreciation, which I think you will get. And you know, I have no problem buying Google in this area. You have to hold it long term. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry, one follow-up question on that, because there's a lot of talk of AI and how they are sort of losing ground on that to Microsoft, you know, with the ChatGPT and all that. Do you have a view on that?
Well, I like Microsoft too, so I own both of them, because they're heavy competition, Microsoft and Google. I like Google because they're the king of advertising, right? Advertising dollars, making money through their advertising dollars. Whereas Microsoft, they're what's it called? What's that software that database software on the cloud? Anyway, that division grew 27% of Microsoft. So, and Google's cloud-based effort turned a profit for the first time in this most recent quarter. So I like both of them. I can't choose between one or the other. So in my 401k, I own both these stocks. Okay? Microsoft and Google. Sam, thanks for the call. Let's go to Sid in North Carolina. Hi, Sid. How you doing?
Hi, Steve. Good evening. Thank you for taking my call. And just
Thank
to
you.
Complete your previous discussions, it's called Azure, Microsoft Azure.
Thank you.
The cloud software. Yeah.
But you know, and when you get
I have to remember because I have certified in Microsoft Azure as a technology. So
yep, Azure. That's what that's the exact thing. When you get old, your brain gets soft. I'm trying to remember, and I know the name, but I couldn't just spit it out. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Oh, no worries. Thank you for taking my call and really enjoyed this show and conversation. And I know it's an earning day. So just a follow-up question on the earning side with the UPS.
Uh-huh.
I think they had a bad day.
Yep.
Looks like the number-wise and PE and return on equity. And I was just looking at the very basic parameters that you guys taught me over the years. And I just scan the numbers and things like good entry point. Wanted to check your point of view on that. Do you think it's a good bargain?
Okay, UPS, everybody. Symbol is UPS, United Parcel Service. I do like the company. Delivers because they're the biggest one. They're there, and then of course Federal Express or FedEx, and of course now with Amazon making their own deliveries, they're going to be huge too. Market cap of this one is $151 billion. I don't think, they had a bad day. They fell pretty hard today, down to 176. And that was close to, 9-10%. Pretty bad day. And I don't think there. I don't think you buy at this point. I don't. I think you wait. It's kind of cyclical. So is FedEx. And I think the economy is going to slow down. So I think they're going to come down. I think they'll come down to a better entry point. But I do like the fact that you're looking at a good, solid company. Pays a 3.7% dividend. That's not in jeopardy. They will always pay that dividend. They have a great return on equity. They have a huge cash flow, $16.90 a share. They don't have that much debt. So I like the mutual funds are not buying or not selling either. They're just holding on. I like where they are as far as a company. They're very solid. So you buy this on the dip. I think it'll get into the 150 area. It's 176 now. I think it'll get into the high 150s. And if it holds that for a week or two or three, that's where I'd like to pick it up. If it fell down to 120, it'd be a screaming buy if it fell down. I don't think it's going there. But I don't think I'd buy it here. It's kind of in the middle of where I think it will trade, you know, the range. 230 is the top. 150 high 150s is the bottom, in my opinion. And I would rather see you buy it in the bottom. It's right in the middle right now. Thanks for the call, Sid. I really appreciate it. That was UPS, everybody. Okay, it's Trivia Tuesday, everybody. So let's get to it. No matter how much our government wants us to transition to electric vehicles, it's going to take some time. The two biggest factors that are slowing the change are extra costs, because they're expensive, and the availability of battery charging stations. But before EVs and still today, gas-powered vehicles were a very big thing. As we go to break, here's my multi-part trivia question. To get around in any vehicle, EV or gas-powered, we need roads and highways. So when did the U.S. start building our interstate highway system? I'll give you the answer after the break. 888-99-CHART.
At this point, I think almost everyone has heard how generative AI promises to bring us to the next industrial revolution. AI is already shaping society with an impact on daily life that echoes the transformative significance of electricity or the internet. As we take steps to embrace the potential of generative AI, we need to remain vigilant with regard to its exploitability. This is where HackerOne comes in. HackerOne's AI Red Team addresses the novel challenges of AI safety and security for businesses that are launching new AI deployments. The HackerOne approach involves targeted offensive testing by harnessing the collective skills of ethical hackers who are proficient in AI and prompt hacking. In short, AI red teaming is the practice of stress testing AI models and deployments to make sure they can't be tricked into providing information beyond their intended use, and that security flaws can't be exploited to access confidential data or systems. HackerOne seamlessly integrates with your existing tools to enhance communication and collaboration across development, security, and IT teams. So, stay ahead of the game in the battle against cyber threats with HackerOne's Attack Resistance Platform. Learn more at HackerOne.com. That's HackerOne.com, HackerOne.com. Now, each time I host the Invest Talk podcast, I have the satisfaction of taking caller questions and then breaking down the often complex dynamics involved. If you've never called, don't hold back. You can leave your Invest Talk questions on the 24/7 anytime listener line at 888-99-CHART.
Okay, before the break, I had a trivia question, as I usually do on Tuesday. Okay, to get around any vehicle, whether it's EV or gas-powered, you need roads and highways, right? So when did the U.S. start building an interstate highway system? I think it was in the 1950s. And what are the four states not served by an interstate highway? I could guess two, but I couldn't guess four. But before I give you the answer, let me provide a little bit of background. In 2022, one out of every seven passenger cars bought globally was an electric vehicle. That's according to a recent report by the International Energy Agency. However, EVs accounted for only about 5.8% of all new cars sold in the U.S. in 2022. So gasoline cars are still very popular. In fact, Tesla lost ground last year with a market share that dropped from 72% in 2021 to 65% in 2022. And I have a feeling that's just going to continue. That doesn't mean they're not going to sell a lot of cars. They are. But I'm just saying their market share is going to go down because of competition. Okay, now the big highways we need to, that we use and talk about. On June 29, 1956, President Dwight D. Eisenhower, I did get it right, signed legislation funding the construction of the U.S. Interstate Highway System, something American had dreamed about since Detroit started building cars. Before the interstate system became a reality in the 1950s under President Eisenhower, the Lincoln Highway, which ran from New York City to San Francisco, was the most famous overland cross-country route in the United States. But all but four state capitals are directly served by interstate system. Those not directly served are Juneau, Alaska, Delaware, I should have guessed, it's a tiny little continental state, Jefferson City, Missouri, I would have never guessed that, and South Dakota. Maybe I asked that question incorrectly. What state capitals? Anyway, here's a bonus question. Why is there no Interstate 60 or 65? There is no I-50 or I-60 because routes with those numbers would likely pass through states that currently have U.S. highways with the same numbers, which is generally disallowed under the Highway Administration guidelines. And by the way, I-80 takes the crown at the best interstate travel route through the middle of the USA, passing 11 states and 2,902 miles. Okay? So, I think electric vehicles are the future. I don't have no doubt whatsoever, and I think it's great. I just think that the government doesn't have to give them tax breaks or push it anymore, because I think that momentum is already there. People want electric cars now, and electric cars are nice looking. The only thing that's holding them back now, I think, is the distance traveled per charge and how long it charges. And, of course, they're working on that pretty diligently. Most people want to be able to charge at night at their home, drive the electric vehicle all day long or however long they need to commute to work or whatever, and then plug it back in at night, charge it again. I think that's what most people, if they can get to that level, that's when they want a car, electric car. That's my opinion. Okay. Google and Microsoft reported after hours their earnings for the first quarter, and they did beat expectations. This was after hours, so the market didn't reflect these good numbers. So I have a feeling the market will open up higher in the morning. I just don't know if it will hold it, okay? And it was Microsoft Azure database, internet database in the clouds that grew so fast, 27%, and even Google's cloud-based business made money for the first time ever in the first quarter of this year. So that's where the growth is, okay? That's where the growth is, and it's going to continue to be there. U.S. consumer confidence hits the lowest level in 9 years, everybody. 9 years. It's 101.3. From 104. Okay, why did it deteriorate? Expectations for consumers under 55 years old tanked. Expectations. And households making less than $50,000 a year, their expectations fell sharply. So you put those two together and you have a pretty... So that means people are not confident. Remember, we're driven by the consumer. Now, one of the problems I have, and I mentioned this many times, is the U.S. Consumer Confidence Report doesn't necessarily reflect exactly what they're spending. They could spend more or less, but even though they're not confident or they're very confident. The report is interesting to note. I don't think you should invest based on what it says, though. I would not. Let's go to James in New York. Hi, James. How are you doing?
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the call.
Good. I'd like to know about IP, International Paper. Do you think now, with the pullback today, might be a good time to pick it up, or should I wait for a further pullback? What would be a good entry?
Okay, good question. International Paper, manufactured renewable fiber-based packaging, pulp products and packaging products, and container board. So it is very sensitive to the economy. Okay, it has fallen sharply from high 50s now to 34.69. It got as low as almost to $30, $31. And then it started to improve. It's starting to fall off a little again. Went up to 40, now it's back down to 34. Had a bad day today. I think it weighed a little bit on this, but man, it pays a 5.3% dividend, James, and that's not in danger. That's a healthy dividend. And their cash flow is $4.92 a share. You know, they're going to earnings $2.76 a share. Return equity is very healthy at 13%. It's a big company, $12 billion. It's got a lot of positives. The only negative is, are we or are we not going into a recession? If we are, this stock is going lower. If we're not, this is a great buying point. Personally, I think you wait a few more weeks and see if it holds. If it holds the $30 level, that tells me that's as low as it's probably going to go. I'd like to wait a few weeks to see if it does, because it's kind of on a downtrend right now. And I'd like to wait till that downtrend kind of reverses itself. I do think it'll hold around the $30 level, and I do think it's wise to have it in your portfolio because of the dividend. But don't expect it to be a huge winner for you. It's never going to be a huge winner. It doesn't have the growth prospects. But man, if you can get 6% dividend, if the price comes down far enough, the dividend is very safe. Okay, it's 6% on your money just to hold on to something. I would do that in a heartbeat. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I really do. Thank you. That was IP, the symbol International Paper, IP. And again, it's a $12 billion company. It's big. Well, Justin Klein and I have been telling you for a while now that we are in a new market environment. Cycles are natural. We're in different cycles. You got to learn your cycles just so you know where you are. We're currently in a down stock market cycle. We really haven't been hurt too much in the economic cycle yet, but the stock market always moves before the economy. So before and obviously the stock market fell last year and the economy was pretty healthy. Okay? No matter how you look at it, it was pretty healthy. This year, the economy still looks pretty decent. You see some cracks. I'm not trying to belittle those cracks in the economy. But the stock market has already moved down sharply last year and not doing so good this year. But I do, and I'm thinking the market is going to bottom this year. It's going to, if it hasn't already. I mean, no one really knows. I do have a crystal ball, but it's always cloudy. It never tells me what's going to happen. It doesn't give me the future. I have to try to divine that myself. So if you can't do divine the future as well and you need help, that's what we are here for. KPP Financial is here to help you. We are a money management firm. We manage individual accounts. We love to help you with yours. But if you just want some advice, or you just want us to take a look at your portfolio, we'll be happy to do that for free. Many money managers, almost all of them, will do that for free. We will do it for free. The difference between us and them, KPP Financial and them, is we're not going to try to talk you into anything. We're not going to try to sell you mutual funds or, you know, some kind of product out there, some kind of insurance product. We don't do that. We're not going to do that. Okay? We want to provide you with unbiased buy-in guidance. And KPP Financial is a little bit different because we practice what we call parallel investing, meaning we buy the same thing for ourselves we do for our clients and the five programs we have. And we have programs that are very risky to not very risky and everything in between. Some programs just to make earnings, just to drive earnings, cash into your pocket. Some are growth, you know, and some are a combination of both. So it's up to you. We are in Irvine, California. That's between San Diego and LA counties. And I think after speaking with us for just a few minutes, you'll find out that we're pretty different. We want to help you. We can help you. We want to help you. And if you'll let us help you, you just got to send us your portfolio and we can get started. Or just email us with your questions. Or you can call our show. We'll answer the questions on the show as well. Any way we can help you, we'll do it. Okay? Next up, I will tackle more of your questions at 888-99-CHARGE. Just hang on.
The prosperous future you envision for yourself and your family will not happen without strategic planning and definitive action.
Let's go to Brian in San Mateo looking at Roku.
And I wanted your take on the technical picture.
For the unprepared investor, market volatility around the world demonstrates risk. But opportunities wait for no one. And now may be the best time in years to invest wisely, to invest strategically.
What I would do is keep saving and look for other opportunities.
But how can you decide what sectors to avoid, which stocks to buy, and what might be the best price point?
I'm new to investing, and my friend Wesley recommended your podcast a year ago.
And how should you deal with your risk tolerance? InvestTalk. To prevail, serious investors need a balanced combination of realistic market education and unbiased guidance. KPP Financial Principals Steve Peasley and Justin Klein host a unique weekday finance and investment program and podcast, InvestTalk.
Hello, Justin and Steve. This is Joel calling in from Maine. I love the show. I'll be listening for your answer.
Is your asset portfolio properly balanced? How can you better manage your 401k? How will economic events affect the real estate market? So many questions. The straightforward answers can help you focus on your drive for success. You can learn more anytime at investtalk.com. The next decisive step on your path to financial freedom begins with a Spotify search for InvestTalk. Listen live or download the free podcast.
And I've got a question about warrant shares. I think that's the right term.
Got a question for Steve or Justin? 888-99-CHART.
Hi, I've got a question for Steve. I was curious about the security symbol is Z as in zebra, I India, and M Mary. Just like to know what your thoughts are. I was hoping to buy some probably Monday or Tuesday. Thank you.
Okay, this is Zim Integrated Shipping. It's an Israeli company, Israeli-based asset-like container liner shipping company provides cargo solutions for all industries. It's a $2 billion company, so it's not that big. One thing I don't like about it, they lose money. They're gonna lose $1.12 per share this year. Now, they made $38 a share last year. Very odd. Next year, they're going to lose $5.33 a share. And it's a fairly new company. It's only been out since, early 2021. And it started off like around $12, $13 a share, went all the way up to 80, and here it is down to $17.57. This is something I'm not very keen on. They say they have a dividend yield of 96.5%. Don't buy into that, please. There's something odd about this whole thing. Return on equity is 88%. This would not be for me. I'd have to take a look into it. Sales growth is actually falling now. There's too many unknowns and too many weird things. It's in the transportation shipping industry, and that is always a very cyclical, very erratic industry, in my opinion. So I stay away from that. Okay. Let's go ahead and grab another quick question. 888-99-CHARGE is the number.
Hi, Steve and Justin. What do you think of Cincinnati Financial Corporation? C for China, I for India, N for Norway, F for France. Do you think it's a good long-term hold? Thank you. Bye.
This is a $16 billion financial company, insurance, property, casualty, offers commercial and personal lines of insurance, commercial casualty, and commercial property insurance. It's been around a long time. It makes money. It's very consistently making money. Going to make $4.67 this year per share. That's the estimate. $5.96 next year. Pays a 2.9% dividend. The thing I don't like about it is the PE is too high. Sales have been going down the last four quarters. They don't have much debt, which is great. Management owns 3%. That's pretty darn good. But I'm not keen on this one because of the sales for the last year have been going down, and I think that shouldn't happen. I can understand the last quarter, but not the whole year. This is InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peasley, and we have one goal here, everybody. That's to help you achieve financial freedom. We've been using that term forever, financial freedom. That means you can quit work or do what you want to do in retirement, even if it is work. So get your questions in now, 888-99-CHART.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
A warrant is a right to buy shares of stocks at a certain price.
Got a question for Steve or Justin? 888-99-CHART.
The stock market is volatile. It's constantly changing. So how are you positioned? Is your portfolio properly balanced, or are you taking unnecessary risks? You can get guidance anytime for free if you go to investtalk.com and take the brief Riskalyze quiz.
Hello, this is Selena from Minnesota. I was calling in to ask about VNM, Victor Nancy Michael. It's the Vietnamese ETF. I own half a position, and I was looking on adding to it, and I was just curious your thoughts on the economic potential of Vietnam and what you thought about the holdings in the ETF. It looks pretty well diversified to me, and I was looking to add and wondering if you had a good entry point or if you even like the ETF. I'll be listening on the podcast, and thank you very much. I listen every day.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm not keen on Vietnam. I'm not keen on third world country ETFs because I don't know their economies well enough. I don't know their laws well enough. I don't know how much protection they provide to the shareholders well enough. And Vietnam's one. But it is well diversified. I'll give you that. And it is at a good low price compared to what it has been trading at. It's been trading at, 18 to 20, I would say maybe 16 to 20 for quite some time. And here it is at $11.67, which is near its low, which is around 11. So I think what you're seeing is it's going to be bottoming here, but I don't trust it. I don't trust it because I don't know it well enough. I don't know. The reason why I don't do third world investments these days is because, it's too easy for these countries just to take the assets of independent companies. I just read today that Russia's taken over assets of two corporations that are outside their country. I think one in Sweden or Finland, I think. The assets they own in Russia because of their support for Ukraine, stuff like that. They're just going to take it over. I'm not saying Vietnam does that kind of stuff. I'm just saying I don't know the laws and rules and how the rule of law hold up well in these little tiny countries. Vietnam is a very small country. That's why I don't like it. Can you make money there? Sure. Sure, and it's, if it ever got up to $18, $20, I would sell that ETF. It's at $11.67 now because I don't know if you'll ever get it to go much higher than that. Okay? Thanks for the call, though. I appreciate that. And thank you for listening every day. I really appreciate that. Morgan Stanley is expecting a commercial real estate fall worse than the 2008 financial crisis. Worse. Now, you know I've talked about it. I've told you there's $2.1 trillion in commercial real estate loans coming due in the next 2 years, and 80% of that $2.1 trillion is with small and medium-sized banks. So, therefore, I'm staying away from those banks. Big banks I'm okay with, but not the smaller ones. And I talked to you last week about Mohammed Al-Erin, who, used to be the co-CEO of PIMCO. He's expecting, he has lots of concerns, and he's expressed those concerns. UBS says commercial real estate can absorb the shocks Okay, when he said, when they say it can absorb the shocks, that means you're expecting the shocks. And what kind? How bad is the shocks going to be? Even though commercial real estate can absorb it, and Morgan Stanley sees pain in the office space. Man, when you're talking about all the big boys talking like this, I wouldn't buy commercial real estate, but I'm more concerned about the loans. The $2.1 trillion loans are going to be coming due in the next couple of years, and the refinancing of those loans, how difficult is that going to be? How much more cost is it going to be for the real estate property owners? Man, I just don't want to be in that space right now. It's just a space I'm too uncomfortable being in. Now, I'm not saying all commercial real estate. There's an area that I think looks attractive that I wouldn't mind buying something that if I found it, I want it, and that would be in the medical properties REIT area. They've been beat up pretty bad along with everybody else. I don't know, kind of. Medical properties, they're not cyclical, kind of like that. As long as it's really inexpensive, I might be considered. You can talk me into it. I'm Steve Pease, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. You can get your downloads anytime at iTunes, Google Play, and or Spotify. And please be sure to review and rate us on iTunes. And we have now surpassed 51.9 million downloads. We're close to 52 million here. That'll probably reach that goal tonight. And I want to thank everybody for doing that, for helping us. I really appreciate it. I hope you're getting something out of the show. We really, really, really want you to get something out of the show. Remember to follow us on InvestTalk on social media, InvestTalk with two T's, okay? InvestTalk, no space. Independent thinking, share success. This is InvestTalk. Good night, everybody.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights.